The Point Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. Well, in a wildly ironic story, the Lifetime series Drop Dead Divas gets canceled again. Or is it really gone? We go to the one guy who knows, creator and executive producer Josh Berman. Plus more on the second season of Da Vinci's Demons with Laura Haddock and Tom Riley. Powers finally gets a home on TV, and Flappy Birds is coming back. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point, The Point Radio, get The Point Radio.
After five seasons and a couple of cancellations, Lifetime is bringing the curtain down on Drop Dead Diva with a final season six rolling right now on the network. I talked to creator and executive producer Josh Berman about when he got the news.
We were at the end of season five. I was actually writing the finale for season five when we got word that Lifetime wanted us to make this the final season. Their point of view was they wanted to give us enough time to really bring closure to our characters' lives into the story. We also had written a pretty fantastic cliffhanger at the end of season five where Grayson realizes that Jane may not be Jane. Jane may, in fact, be Deb. And season six begins 8 hours later. We continue that storyline. You know, the truth is out there, so to speak, and the characters have to deal with the fact that Jane hasn't always been honest with the fact that she is really Deb. And certainly those reasons make sense to the writers and to the character of Jane, but Grayson may not be so sympathetic to the truth.
So was he prepared to wrap things up?
I absolutely am writing the show. I mean, the nice thing about getting the word that it's the final season, it allows us, the writers and the actors, to really prepare and give a final chapter to the Drop Dead Diva saga. I think for even those viewers that just watched occasionally or the ones that watched every episode, this is going to be a very satisfying season where all the ends are tied up.
With so many great guest stars over the past five seasons, it has to be impossible to pick the best one. But I asked Siri star Brooke Elliott to give it a try.
That's the perfect way to say it. It is impossible to judge a favorite. We've been so lucky. It's amazing, you know, the amount of people that have wanted to be a part of our show and have lent their talent and their time, and every single one of them, I learned something from. And I should write it all down. I should sit down one day and write down like what I learned from each guest star, because I really did. And I'm so lucky. As I move forward in my life, I will have had this experience. And they've all been tremendous, and it is impossible to kind of pick a favorite. But I've enjoyed every one of them.
So for Josh, is it really over?
Well, you know, Lifetime has said this is the final season, and we're certainly using the first five seasons to platform an amazing chapter in Diva's history. You know, I guess in my experience with the show, I've realized that anything is possible, but they are telling me right now that this is the last season. It's funny, though, because I'm already reading the petitions online to bring it back, so I guess anything is possible.
Catch up on past episodes of Drop Dead Diva right now at Lifetime.com, and the new season, the final one, runs right now on Lifetime. Here we go with the latest in pop culture. It looks like the Powers television show has finally found a home. Sony has ordered it for the first original series for their PlayStation network. To compete head-on with the one announced a few months back by Xbox, that'll be the one with the Halo series that they're developing at Microsoft. No word yet on exactly when production would begin on a Power series, or if it would include any of the original cast or plans for the one that Fox shot as a pilot about a year and a half ago. This news is spreading fast, but if you hear it, you can be assured it is true. Flappy Bird will take flight again soon. The creator, Doug Noonien, said that he's bringing a better version of the game back to stores sometime in the near future. He said the game was a little bit too addictive, and he took it down from the app stores a few months ago after it was making him about $50,000 a day in ad revenue. The Walking Dead, or at least a version of it, is coming to broadcast television. AMC and Fox have announced a deal that that coming up in the fall, two episodes of the series will air back-to-back on one night of the week. That week and night is yet to be determined. It'll be on the Fox My Network stations, which reach a pretty good percentage of the U.S. population. Of course, to be on broadcast television, there will be some changes, including editing out certain violent scenes, so you won't see exactly what you saw on AMC. Look for an announcement on when the official premiere date will take place in the fall, coming sometime over the next couple of weeks from Fox. Finale dates for a bunch of ABC shows have been announced, including Scandal, which will end on the 17th of April. Resurrection winds up on the 4th of May. Once Upon a Time has a two-hour season finale on May the 11th. The next night, Castle ends on May the 12th. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wraps up its first season on Tuesday, May 13th on ABC. Some bits and pieces have leaked out about the new Star Wars project from Disney, mostly that J.J. Abrams will get the camera set up to begin the project in May, and that Star Wars Episode 7 will take place 30 years after the events of Return of the Jedi. According to the president of Disney, it'll feature some very familiar faces, along with some new cast members as well. Among those cast members who are rumored to be part of the project is Adam Driver, who you may know from the HBO series Girls, who's reportedly in line to play a villain in the new Star Wars series. IDW is doing their best to keep the X-Files franchise alive, and now they've taken it into a different direction with the release of the X-Files Big Box board game coming in a few months from IDW. The game will focus heavily on material from the first three seasons of the TV series, and is designed in part by Kevin Wilson, who did the Arkham Horror project. The game will retail for just under $60 and be in stores in July. And also, speaking of games and comics, Catalyst has now licensed the Valiant properties and will begin producing role-playing and tabletop games featuring Valiant's library of superheroes. It'll begin with a Valiant Universe RPG that'll be released sometime later this year. Here's a heads up about at least one thing you can look forward to on April Fool's Day. Craig Ferguson and Drew Carey are trading places. Drew will move into the Late Late Show chair that night. And earlier that day, Craig will move into the job of hosting The Price is Right and bring along his robot skeleton sidekick as well. Again, it takes place on April 1st on CBS. There will be an Incredibles 2, and Brad Bird will be part of it. Disney's announced that there will be a sequel to the classic 2004 superhero comedy, and Bird, who wrote and directed the original, will also be writing this sequel as well. No production schedule has been announced yet. Despite a little bit of dark, cold news for the comic book, the graphic novel didn't do too bad in comic book store sales in February. They were actually up a little bit, just about 2, almost 3%, which gives them a total of being down about 6.69% so far for the year of 2014, especially when you compare it to last year. All that being said, on the graphic novel shelves, interestingly enough, just like in the bookstores, Marvel and DC didn't hold down a lot of spots. Three total for the big two. And the top 10 best-selling graphic novels in February in comic stores started number 10 with The Flash Volume 2, Rogue's Revolution. At number 9, the third volume of Revival from Image. At number 8, My Little Pony Tales Volume 2, The Trade from IDW. At number 7, Marvel's Infinity Hardcover. At number 6, Star-Lord, The Annihilation Conquest from Marvel. At number 5, Saga, the first volume from Image. At number 4, the 19th volume of Invincible, The War at Home, also from Image. Boom comes in at number 3 with Adventure Time number 4. At number 2, Fatal Volume 4, Pray for Rain trade paperback from Image. And at number 1, best-selling graphic novel and comic stores was Lock and Keys Volume 6, Alpha and Omega, the hardcover from IDW.
The Point, The Point.
I first met actress Laura Haddock right before she began her stint as Lucretia on the Starz original series, Da Vinci's Demons. And she was excited about playing a historical character, especially when it came to wearing all the period clothes. So after a year of long gowns and corsets, I caught up with her to see if it was still as much fun.
No, I mean, you know, you get to do your dream job every day, so it's pretty cool. It's still really cool. This year, the costumes were slightly different. Last year, they were... I guess she had to use her sexuality a bit more and her femininity, and so we cut, but a lot of her clothes were designed, you know, and cut to accentuate her body, whereas this year The cuts are slightly more practical. They're still beautiful and feminine, but she's on a journey this year. So they feel a lot more robust, a lot more practical. If she gets herself into a scrape, she can get herself out of it. That's kind of where we went this year with her wardrobe. But still unbelievable designs, you know, beautiful pieces. And I love this show, so I am definitely still excited.
Leonardo's played by actor Tom Riley, and I ask him if playing the character for a year has given him even more insight to who Leonardo da Vinci really was.
Yeah, I mean, how much of a troublemaker he was. I just assumed he popped out the womb spouting philosophical bon mots to everyone that he saw. And actually, you know, I read a letter just the other week that he wrote to the Duke of, I think it was the then Duke of Naples, basically saying, look, I am so good. I'm incredible. You're a fool. You know, writing to royalty, saying how amazing he was. And I thought, this, you know, if someone wrote this, if this was a Sinead O'Connor open letter right now, people would be disgusted. People would be appalled by the arrogance. But actually, that was the stuff I didn't know. You know, and that's the stuff that you can bring, because that kind of the self-loathing and the constant quest for perfectionism, or the unearned self-belief. That's the stuff that. That you can bring as an actor, but if you can't necessarily bring the gigantic intellect, because no one could.
So are there any little nuances he's brought to the part?
I used the thing that when I was researching his stuff about autism, I spent some time with a very inspirational young autistic lad who did this thing with his fingers when he was trying to work something out, just ever so slightly twitched them. And I then did some research into what that was and found a TV report on another autistic child who did that, who was moving an imaginary abacus with his fingers when he was working out, usually working out mathematical problems, but he did it so much it translated into the rest of his life. So I brought that into Da Vinci. I mean, he did them in front of his face, which would have been really distracting on camera. So I sort of did it very as small as I could, and I think the camera focused on it quite a lot, but that occasionally I find myself doing when I'm working something out, like what route I'm going to take on the subway now. And I did not expect to just have. What are you doing? Stop doing Leonardo in your real life, you freak.
Tom's very adamant about saying how proud he is of where the show has gone over the first year.
It's certainly very liberating to know that we are we're in something that isn't afraid to push the boundaries. And stars are a very generous network to their showrunners. They listen. They argue, don't get me wrong, of course they do, but they also allow a greater deal of freedom than a lot of capable people. So I think I think being there, you feel like, okay, and especially for the second season, where people know what they're going to get, that this show is kind of wacky, we're freer to just run with that in a way that perhaps without network tests results and the audiences, and this character's not testing well, get rid of them. David just says, I don't care. This is the show I want to make, and this is what's going to happen, and stars and cables support it, and an audience goes with it eventually. I think it's a good free place to be.
In addition to Da Vinci's demons, Laura is also part of the new Marvel film, Guardians of the Galaxy, said to be released this summer. Of course, I had to see if I'd get her to tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, I wish. I can't say too much, but it's quite a small part, but it's sort of vital to the story, and I had such a wonderful time shooting that. James Gunn is just such a fantastic director. He, even though he was working on something that was essentially almost 100% green screened, and you know, his actors were just doing such an incredible job at making that world come alive and become a reality. James and I had an opportunity to do something quite small, quite intimate, realistic, based in reality, and James was very sensitive and took the time to make it as truthful as possible. So even to the point where I never met the actor that I was working with. We never met each other until the cameras were rolling on our faces. So that was pretty cool. I'm excited to see it. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
In the wake of the Oscars, with so many great roles for actresses in movies, I asked Laura who she admires.
I love Meryl Streep. I'm a big Diane Keaton fan, and Susan Sarandon, Goldie Hawn, that kind of group of actresses. And then of my generation, I love Emily Blunt, Anne Hathaway, Carey Mulligan, Jennifer Lawrence. I think that, yeah, it feels like it's an exciting time to be an actor at the moment. There are lots of people that I'm inspired by and enjoying. I think Elizabeth Olsen is a lovely actress. The list is endless. I really, you know. And then also the Kristen Wiigs of this world, Comedy Girls, I think, you take my hat off to them. Amazing Trojan actresses. I think, yeah, there are so many actresses that I'm inspired by. Probably if I, you know, had to, I think Meryl Streep is probably the absolute idol when it comes to being inspired by an actress, but there are so many actresses that I'm inspired by.
If you missed any of the first season of Da Vinci's Demons, Starz has made it available to binge-watch right now at Starz.com. I talked to Laura about how much fun that is.
I'm definitely a binge-watcher. I love buying the DVD or jumping on Netflix and doing a whole series all in one go. I hate waiting, you know, a week for the next episode. Breaking Bad, I binge watched 24. I remember when that came out, I binge watched that. The Good Wife, Modern Family, I love. Recently just started watching Looking, Girls, I love. Mad Men. Oh my goodness, there's so many series that I love that I'm into. Broadchurch, which was back in the UK, I thought was fantastic. Lucifer, I loved. The Wire. There's loads. Nashville, I love. I'm like really eclectic with my taste as well. It goes all over the shop.
Season 2 of Da Vinci's Demons, right now on Starz. Catch up on anything you may have missed at Starz.com. That's it for right now, but you know you can always find the podcast on websites like ComicMix.com and MichaelDavisWorld.com, and we've got a whole bunch of them waiting for you right now in the iTunes podcast directory as well. Just subscribe, because we like that. In the meantime, we cover pop culture 24/7 at GetThePointRadio.com. Right there, you can listen on your desktop or your laptop anytime you want to, or take us on any mobile device, Apple or Android, with an app called iNet Radio. Get that free in the App Store or at inetradio.com. Keep up on social media under The Point Radio, and we'll see you after the first weekend of spring, right back here in a few days. Get the-